morning, everybody. How are we doing this Father's Day? All right, yeah, everybody loving that weather outside? Yeah. Yeah, we had a handful of us yesterday, went out and we paddled, and we got on the water, we did some paddling, and it was all great. I was stayed nice and dry until a couple of them fell in, and then I had to get wet with them, but it was okay. We made it through, right, Rick? Where's Rick? Yeah. Rick and Becky went with me yesterday. It was great. Great experience yesterday. So we'll hope to do another paddle, hopefully at some point this summer. So if you like to get on the water, hey, great. It's going to be a great opportunity to do it again with us, kayaking the beautiful Hoosick River. It's such a great resource right here next to us. We want to take advantage of it anytime we can. But I want to thank you for being here this Father's Day with us, for joining us this Sunday morning, for making us a part of your Sunday morning. Such an honor. Man, you could be doing anything, especially a day like today. You could be out hiking. You could be doing all these wonderful things. I don't want to give you too many ideas because you're going to scoot out. But I thank you so much for making us a part of your morning. If you're new here, make sure that you get a guest bag. In the very back, Miss Dawn's going to wait. She's going to hook you up with a free guest bag before you get out of here today. Don't miss it, all right? It's got lots of good stuff in it, including a Stewart's gift card. So, hey, you want a little bit of ice cream, maybe a little discount on your gas. It's not a lot, but a little, right? Hey, it's got that in there. So make sure you take advantage of it and get that before you get out of here today. If you're new here online with us and join us for the first time, thank you for doing that as well. Make sure you like or love a comment we're posting. That way we can get you a free ebook as well so that you know that we want you to be here and can't wait to engage with you this morning through all the things we have going on today. Also, if you have kids, make sure you're sending your kids down to Faith Kids. We'd love for them to be a part of our Sunday morning experience each and every single week downstairs. We got a great team ready to pour into their lives, and so make sure you're checking them in physically or online. We have a resource online for you as well, so make sure you're taking part in that. It's on our Facebook page. Just click on the link, and you'll see it takes you to Jesus Center content on their level, so make sure you're taking advantage of that. All right, a couple things I want to highlight here that's going on at Faith for the next little while. We got so much stuff going on. One is we have a free community cookout Monday, July 11th. I'm not sure if I got the date right or not, but I believe it's the 11th. All right, so make sure that if you are here with us, it's going to be at the church. We're going to grill hamburgers and hot dogs and have an awesome time hanging out outside. And so we want you to be a part of it. It's for free, totally free. So come and take part Monday. We're going to give you the date or the time next week, but just put Monday, July 10th or 11th rather on your calendar. We want you to be here for a few free community cookout. Also that week, starting the Tuesday after, we've got Faith Kids Club. It's an after-summer program that we run for 3 days that week. That's going to be behind the firehouse on 346, like right down here past Church Street. And so make sure you're bringing your kids to that. It's from 5 to 6:30 every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, July 12th, 13th, and 14th. So make sure that you're getting plugged in there. I know that's available for your children. And then also make sure you're joining us on Saturday, July 30th, 11 to 2 is Celebrate Pownal Day, all right? So what in the world is that going to be about? We got lots of stuff going on. We're going to put up a huge tent. We're going to have, again, more hamburgers and hot dogs all for free. We're going to have a cornhole tournament going on. There's going to be big bounce houses. There's going to be a dunk tank. There's going to be so much stuff going on as we look to celebrate Pownal and its people. And I'm so excited about this. Saturday, July 30th from 11 to 2, same location behind the firehouse on Route 346 and Church Street. So make sure you do not miss that event. Put it on your calendar. Come. If you want to help out, we can plug you in somewhere too. We'd love for you to help out with that. But if nothing else, invite a friend and come and make it a huge celebration day from 11 to 2 that Saturday. We're praying the weather's going to be fantastic and have a great time. Make sure you bring your kiddos. It's going to be fantastic. Fantastic. So make sure you don't miss that Saturday, July 11th. Last thing we want to do, each and every week we want to offer you an opportunity, one, to receive. So if you're in need today, we always want to start with you, and maybe you're thinking, oh, shoot, man, I have a lot of bills that have been piling up, and I've been trying to keep up, but I just quite can't. We want to reach and help you. So make sure that you're contacting us. Look on our website, faithchurchvt.com, and you'll see a myriad of ways to be able to connect with us. Do so, and we will get back with you and try to help, try our best to help you out where you are, all right? If you would like to give, we'd love for you to have an opportunity to give as well. There's baskets for physical giving placed around the room, or there's online giving at faithchurchvt.com. Press the give button. Super simple. You can give just physically now or virtually now, or you can give recurring through an app, whatever way works best for you. Just make sure you know easily and it's available for you to give, to be able to affect change and do ministry here in Pownall, Vermont, to reach people for Jesus. That's what we're giving for. Things like this Celebrate Pownall Day, things like the cookout, all these things are generated by your generosity. And we're so grateful for you guys partnering with us as we seek to see more people and more families transformed by the power of the gospel. And it's through that generosity that makes it happen. So thank you for giving all you've given so far. And we can't wait to see more and more come in so we can do more and more things here in Pownall. All right. So with that out of the way, let's do a couple of things this morning. One, I want to thank Dave. Where's Dave at? Where's he at? He's hiding in the middle. He's not here today. He's going to come up and give a message. No, I'm shook. Last week, Dave came in and gave a message, and I was so grateful for it. I tell you what, I was thinking about this week. It typically takes me about 20 to 30 hours, roughly, to be able to put together a message for a Sunday morning. 20 to 30, just depending on the week. And I think Dave, last week when I called him up, may have had like 5 to be able to put together a message, and that might have been a little generous, right? But he did it anyway, and he came through like a champ, and he really did such a great job, and it's such an honor to be serving with others like Dave and Walt, who helps out sometimes, and so many others who give messages here when I'm not available, and to step in and be able to do it like that on such short notice is just remarkable. And I want to thank you so much, Dave, and for all you did last week, and for all of you, I know you're blessed by it. And so I'm back, whether you like it or not, I'm back this week. And so we're going to roll into our How to Deal With series. We're going to talk about how to deal with fatherhood today. But before we do, I got a question I want you to ask and answer of one another. And then we're going to take a break while you do that, all right? So let me give you this question. We're going to take a 5-minute break while you ask and answer this question of one another. And then we'll come back and get into it, all right? So here we go. The question is this. And I like Dave's message so much last week, I decided I was going to riff off of his question last week. So the question is this: did you ever wear hand-me-downs as a kid? Did you ever wear hand-me-downs as a kid? All right. Now, think about that. I want you to ask and answer of each other. Ask and answer online. Hand-me-downs as a kid, did you wear them? How much fun did you have doing that? And we'll see you back in 5 minutes. Everybody, here we go. Before we get to this question, I was reminded, and thank you so much for reminding me, Jen. Next week, all right? So one last announcement. Next Sunday here at Faith, right after church, we're having a special. It's supposed to be warm, all right? Believe it or not, we're actually going to get warm weather again. Next Sunday is supposed to be in the mid-80s, so we're going to have a little special Sunday, all right? So the kids are already, during Faith Kids, going to have a great time being a little outside. They're going to play some outdoor games. What we're going to do is we're going to amp that up after, and we're going to have some wet outdoor games next week as well after the experience. And so if you have kids or not, don't have kids, doesn't matter. Hang out with us. We're going to have some outdoor wet games. We're also going to have some ice pops and some ice cream sandwiches. We're going to have a whole bunch of hand-me things that you can touch and eat and good and sweet and delicious things. So hang out with us next Sunday after the experience as we do a special Faith Summer Fun blowout outside in great hot weather, great wet weather. So we're going to have a great time next week. So join us next Sunday for that as well, okay? Now, thank you so much, Jim, for that. Now, let's get into the question today. Have you ever wore hand-me-downs, all right? Let's see how many people here have worn hand-me-downs. Rich is going to walk around with us and help us out. If you got a story, your hand-me-downs. If not, you can just say, yeah, I wore hand-me-downs. No story? Oh, Dave's got a story. Of course he does.
Yes, I did wear hand-me-downs. And it's, again, you know, the father stuff, because by eighth grade, I could mostly fit into most of his things. It was a little bit big of a waist, but I was at the height already. And he had these awesome gray corduroys that I thought I was the coolest thing until my friends told me otherwise.
They burst your corduroy bubble. That's a shame. All right. Anybody else? That's good. Here we go with Brian in the back. Hand-me-downs.
I had 3 sisters, so that didn't work. I was the youngest, so I didn't wear anything.
Okay.
I was the youngest. I was the youngest of 6 kids, and had 2 older brothers, and so lots of hand-me-downs. But the problem was my older brother was a lot thinner than I was. So we have some pictures with me in a suit coat that the buttons look like they're going to pop off and take somebody's eye out anytime.
Awesome. All right. Who else? Those are good. Any other hand-me-down wears that had maybe a little story tied to it? It's okay if you don't have a story tied to it. All right, Miss Dawn in the back. You got a story tied to your hand-me-downs?
So I'm actually the oldest girl, so I didn't have any hand-me-downs from siblings, but we had a lot of clothes given to us. Yeah. And my favorite thing to wear my freshman year in high school was this orange paisley print satin shirt. And I loved it, but nobody else seemed to have as much fondness for it as I did. And then eventually my mom took it out of my closet and gave it away to somebody else. And I'm like, where's my shirt? She said I gave it away.
She handed it down. All right, there you go. All right, anybody else? That's great. Good. Good, good, good. Thank you so much for those, man. As the only boy, I was asked to wear hand-me-downs. I was the only boy of two stepsisters, all right? And so they're both older than me, and so I had, like, no hand-me-downs, which I had no problem with because I went to school with a bunch of kids that did wear hand-me-downs, and I was like, I'm glad I can actually pick out my own clothes and don't have to wear them. My kids, however, are not so fortunate, right? I've got lots of kids. Matter of fact, I thought earlier this week, I thought, we should do a competition. The person with the most kids should get, like, a hunting rifle or something. Then I thought people would think it's rigged or something, so I couldn't do that, so I left it alone. But my kids aren't fortunate because I got seven children, and I've got, how many boys do I got? Six out of those seven are boys, and so all of them besides Jaden have had hand-me-downs at some point, and even he did, like some of you mentioned, right, that sometimes you get stuff handed to you from other people, even if it's not from your siblings above you, and so everybody's wearing somebody else's clothes. Eliana, as the only girl, is the exception. But even then, she's still had people from church give her clothes for that have had girls. And so there's a lot of stuff that she's wearing that other people have worn before. So it's always something being passed around, which I'm grateful for because, hey, clothes aren't cheap, right? I mean, good grief. It's expensive for everything is these days, but clothes especially so. But those hand-me-downs always kind of fit, right? It's like, all right, they work, but maybe the buttons are about to burst off, right? Or they work, but man, they're probably about 10 to 20 years out of date, right? So there's something going on there with hand-me-downs. Usually something's just off. I was thinking about this experience as I was helping out my son a few weeks back. He was going to prom, and we got the suit. We rented a tux, all right? So there's no hand-me-down there. That was easy. But you got to have socks, and you need a belt. You need little pieces to finish out this suit, right? And so I was thinking whenever we rented it, I was like, no big deal. I got some dress socks. I got a belt. I can just let him borrow mine. And so as I were sitting here and getting it all dressed up, all ready to go, I was like, all right, let me get that belt. And I realized when I started to help him put it on, I was like, this ain't going to work. Yeah, because he's like this big, right? And so I'm not anymore. And so I was like, I'm pretty decent size. I'm not a big dude. Surely this will work out. But as soon as I started to put the belt on and started to wrap around and then wrap around again, I was like, oh, shoot, that's not going to quite work. So we kind of made a little hole and tried to piece it together best we can. And same thing with the socks. I was like, oh, hell, socks will work. It'll be fine. But, you know, I stretched them out just a little bit different way. And so he put them on. They're just a little awkward. And I had a flashback whenever I was doing that with my son of me and my stepdad. It was a very similar experience growing up and going to prom as well. And it was the same exact thing where I was borrowing stuff of his, right, and stuff that he had. That I always looked at it and said, oh, that's pretty nice stuff, but it wasn't my stuff. And so whenever I put it on, it just didn't quite fit right, right? It was just something off with that. There was just a couple of pieces that just weren't fitting right. They weren't mine, right? Now, nothing in my life up to that point and nothing in my life and my son's life had prepared him to be able to have the need for such things, for such clothes, for such shoes or belts or socks or whatever the case is. And so he was using my hand-me-downs, and I was using, at my age, my stepdad's hand-me-downs to kind of fill in the gaps. And as I was reflecting on that, I was reminded that that's far from the only time I was in that situation, that most of my adult life has been lived in the hand-me-downs of others. And I don't just mean clothes, right? I mean life, just how we handle life, right? And I firmly believe that each man here knows exactly what I'm talking about. I think our work ethic, our anger issues, our how to deal, right, with our wives, with our ex-wives, with our children, stepchildren, the jobs that we have, our friends, or lack thereof, all of manhood kind of fits like hand-me-down clothes. We put on our granddad's firm hand, maybe, right? Maybe we put on our dad's sarcasm, trying them on for ourselves and stumbling around, but never quite sure they fit us just right. We kind of look like we know what we're doing, maybe. But on the inside, we're struggling with questions of like, man, am I ever going to fill these clothes out the way my dad did or the way my grandfather did or my uncle did? Maybe we're not proud of our fathers or some other men in our lives. Maybe we're disappointed in who they never could be. Maybe the one who listened, and they never were that person. Maybe they never were the protector. Maybe they never were the hero. Maybe we're a little bit disappointed in who they actually were, the abuser, the alcoholic, the recluse. And so we're living in these hand-me-downs of our lives. And we're left with questions, right? That as disappointed as we are in our dads, how disappointed are we are in ourselves? That's a secret struggle, I think, as men that we don't want to admit. How disappointed are we? If we're honest with ourselves, we'll look at our lives and say, yeah, I try. I try really hard. But, you know, you don't know the clothes I was handed down from my dad. You know, you don't know the fact that, one, maybe he wasn't even around. Or if he was, all the things that I had to deal with him, and it just never, I never understood who he really was. And now I'm trying to be a dad, and I just can't quite figure it out. And now I'm left disappointed as much in myself as I was in him. That's the secret struggle. Ladies, for those of you who don't know, if that's what your husbands or boyfriends or whoever the man in your life is dealing with, they're dealing with that. I'll guarantee it at some point or another. There's that lingering question in the back of the mind that says the clothes we hand down to our children might not be much better than the clothes we got handed down to us. But we got to wear something, right, guys? I mean, you got to wear something. So you got a few options here, don't we? Option one is kind of we awkwardly slip on these things that seem to fit us best, right? So maybe we're getting into a fight with our wives and we think, what did dad used to do, right? How did he handle that? Yeah, maybe he didn't have the greatest marriage, but they kind of sorted it out all right in the end, so maybe I can just use some of the things that he used to kind of get through. Maybe option number two, where we kind of avoid most of what's in the closet is kind of ill-fitting or outdated, but you know, we're trying to make some of these pieces work. Maybe dad was abusive. Maybe he was always at work. Maybe he had time for all the other kids, but not for us. So maybe I'll avoid all that stuff that I didn't like, and maybe I'll pick up the stuff that seems to be working, or maybe I could use. Or option three, maybe we decide just to throw it all out. We say, man, all that stuff that he did, I don't want any of that. I don't want to pick up any of that stuff. I'm going to find my own clothes. You see, but the problem with that is, how do we know they're going to fit any better? How do you know? Ladies, have you ever seen a man in your life shop? You ever seen it? You ever been there with it? Come on. Come on now, ladies. You've seen that the man in your life shop, right? Has he ever been in the inside of a fitting room? No. I don't even know what the inside of those things look like. What's in there? Ladies, you tell me, is it nice in there? I don't know. Is that right? Is there room? I'm not sure. It doesn't matter because I'm not going to go in a fitting room, right? If I go in to pick out clothes for myself, I'm just going to pick something off the rack, and then what are we going to do, guys? We're going to hold it up, maybe, if you're lucky. If you're lucky, you might have the guys like, all right, this looks like it'll fit. And you're just going to ball it up. You're going to throw it on the rack. You're going to go, right? I love the fact that men's clothes, at least in some regards, are easy when it comes to jeans especially, because it's like, all right, waist and length. That's all I need to know. I don't need to go in and try it on. Is it the same fit? Is it the waist and the length? Great. I could just take it home. I don't have to do any of this mess. Just really quick and easy, right? Yeah. That's how guys shop, but that's how we treat our manhood as well. It'll fit, right? I'll just throw something else on. I'll just try to make it work, right? And so we kind of do this. We put on dad's clothes. They're not working, so we try something else. And that something else doesn't work, so we try something else until we find something that fits. But along the way, what's happened is we've left broken families behind, right? We've left kids in other states, maybe. We've left, you know, a few jobs with the burnt bridges down the road there that we can't go back and fix. We've left all these things as we try to make it fit in our lives. It's messy. So how do we deal with fatherhood? How do we deal with manhood, gentlemen? Do we just stumble along in life and try option one, two, and three and hope it just all works out, and then when we get to the end, hope our sons and daughters and families forgive us for all the things we screwed up? Or do we try to do better? We try something different. How do we deal with it differently? And so today, we're going to find a new way forward that doesn't rely on hand-me-downs. It's not going to rely on trial and error, but on a whole new wardrobe, a whole new closet that we don't even have to go shop for. It's given to us, and I guarantee it fits. So we're going to do that by looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 14. So if you have a Bible, feel free to turn there, or Bible app. We encourage you to open that up as well. It's going to be up on the screen, too, as we work through these together. As we start here in Colossians, let me get a quick sip of water, verses 2 through 4 in chapter 3. Paul says this. Colossians 3, 2 through 4. He says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I say, gentlemen, dads, husbands, sons, brothers, where we have to begin this morning is the realization that who we think we are, who we've been told we are, and who we've been raised to be no longer has to define us. All right? Let's understand that right here. That who we are given by Jesus is an end to a cycle of disappointment and failure. It's an end to that question of saying, do I measure up in my family? Am I as good a man as I'm supposed to be? Now we can clear that whole slate through, because in Jesus, we, who we had been and who we thought we are, all of that dies and we are given new life, new clothes, and a whole new adventure. A whole new adventure that starts in him. And so we start with realizing that, one, all that's done. All that's, forget that. Forget even the question. Am I good enough? Forget answers and questions of disappointment. Focusing right here, right now, knowing that all that is a clean slate in Jesus. Colossians 3, 5 through 7 says, when you have that clean slate, here's what you got to do with it, all right? He gives us some how-to. I appreciate this. He says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And he gives us a nice list here. I love lists. He says sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two, you once walked when you were living in them. You see, what happens is when you have a new life, you have a new responsibility, a calling to come clean, to come and take that closet and start peeling out all the things in it that have been wasting away, that have been taking up space. You know, I realized the other day that I looked at my closet that I'm finally old enough to have clothes that are out of date. I can't believe it. I'm almost 40. There's out-of-date clothes in there. That's just it kind of makes me sad, right? But I really need to clean it out. And my wife's on me all the time. She's like, you've got so much clothes. You've got clothes from when you worked three jobs ago you're never going to wear. Why don't you throw that stuff out? I'm like, I might want it back, right? I might need it. I'm never going to need it, right? I haven't said I'm going to give it to my kids yet, but maybe that's my next excuse. Oh, my kids are going to want it. I'm going to need to keep this. No, they don't want that old nasty polo shirt from 20 years ago. It's just way out of date, right? But I still got it in my closet. I still have it there. What happens is, whenever we come to Christ, we have to realize that we got all this stuff backed up in the closet. And what he's saying is, rip it out. When you're looking at your manhood, when you're looking at fatherhood, when you're looking at how you deal with life as a man, we have some things in our closet that are holding us back. And what we do is we cling to those things and we dust them off as trophies, right? We're like, oh man, remember that time when? And we bring out that old dusty blazer or whatever. You remember what I did when I wore this, right? You remember all these things and you laugh about it and it's all have a good time over it and all this stuff. And you think, oh, this is what I'm going to tell my kids about. We're going to laugh at all these crass, horrible things I used to do. Right? And Jesus is saying, no, we're going to rip them out. So you don't need to bring these things out as trophies, dust them off and say, look what I did. You need to take them out and say, that's not who you are anymore. Get rid of it. It's done. It's over. We got new, better things to move on to. We got new stories we got to tell our kids about. So he starts here with a cleaning list. He says, here's what you're going to go in your closet. You're going to pull out. You're going to throw away first. It's sexual sin. Now, this is huge. It's appropriate, so appropriate for us as men, because we're constantly, constantly walking in the clothes of our fathers and the other men in our lives in regards to sex and relationships. That's the majority of our life, right? As guys, right? That's the majority of it. Hardly any of us probably had a responsible talk with our dads about how to handle sex and women. I almost guarantee you that conversation did not come up. Almost guarantee you. Most of them, if you ever went up to them and asked, how do we handle this, Dad? He probably said, I don't know. When you figure it out, you come and tell me, right? That's how this works, right? Because I don't know. I've been doing this forever and still ain't quite figured out how sex and relationships with women work. It all kind of looks hazy to me, right? So we're sadly left to our own devices, aren't we? To learn things we need to really unlearn. From magazines, from internet, from bragging friends who tell all these crazy stories that probably are nowhere close to real, but you listen to them and you're thinking, man, that's got to be legit, right? And we have to unlearn all these things because they clutter up our closet. Maybe we have a well-meaning father, right? Maybe even from a well-meaning father, we have to learn how to unlearn some things. The things we pick up from our dads, sometimes aren't the greatest anyway, right? How many here, I'm one of them, how many of us here have had a father who had an affair? Just me? One, two, all right. Just two? All the people in this room. All right, well, I'm shocked. The statistics will say it's a lot higher than that. All right, there's many fathers who've had an affair. There we go, all right. There we go. Men, women, doesn't matter. Anybody here who's had a dad who's had an affair at one point, all right? Okay, good. There's a few of us out here, right? A few of us, probably more so. Maybe if they didn't have, an affair, but maybe something was going on that was kind of secret that you found out later. There's something going on. These sexual sins that are so hidden, but yet so prevalent in our society as men, that we struggle with so much. And for those of us who have had that dad who's had that experience or had an uncle or grandfather who's lived in that sexual sin, we're left either repeating that mistake or not knowing how to avoid it, right? We're left dealing with these thoughts and emotions and hormones and all these things swirling around. We're like, I don't know how to deal with that. And the thing is with sexual sin is that it's never private. It bleeds into every relationship in our lives. It affects everything. That's why Jesus mentions it frequently. That's why Paul mentions it here. He understands that we have to go in that closet and start yanking that stuff out, not because sex is evil or whatever that means, right? Or not because he's a prude, but because sex outside of a mutually respecting relationship or marriage isn't about love. It's about self-love, right? It's a tool used to satisfy this base instinct in our life to get something we want without having to give up anything real for it. It doesn't honor anybody. But yet we live with these struggles. We live with these private sins, don't we, guys? I don't want to tell anybody. Maybe it's not an affair. Maybe I had that lustful thought. And my dad used to share these magazines with me sometimes, man. Whenever he came around and he saw me on the computer, he was like, yeah, no big deal. That's awesome. I used to do that. And we're dealing with all these things. And is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? What is it? And Paul and Jesus is here saying that you got to get rid of all that. Clean it out. It's not good, all right? There's nothing good up in there. Take it out, our old clothes, our old ideas, our old actions, because there's something better coming. But before we get to that, he gives us some more things we need to clean out. Chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, he says, but now, you get rid of all those sexual sins you got in a closet, you got to take them out, you got to get rid of them, but now you must also put these all away, right? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, says verse 9, seeing that you've put off the old self with his practices. Man, that's a hard list. That's a hard list to be able to dig out of your closet. You see, Paul's moving from selfish sexual desires to destructive speech, the emotions that are buried up in there. How many of our closets are filled with things like this? Especially as guys, right? Maybe you worked on that project with your dad and things get tense and he flips out. Right? You ever been there? Anybody ever had that dad moment? Right? I've lived that dad moment on both sides. I've been the dad. I've been the son, right? I was imagining that scene in The Christmas Story, right? Where, was it Ralphie the kid, right? And he's changing the tire with his dad right outside. He doesn't learn how to change the tire, but he learns how to expand his vocabulary a little bit, right? Just because his dad's, it can be hard in the moment, right? You get really frustrated and really angry, and those things just fly out. The anger, the wrath, all those things that are built up. Curses, those things just continually just boop, fly right on out of there. And we're living with these things in our closet. Maybe your dad was like that. Maybe he had a reputation for being gruffy and just really angry at work, right? Is that how you grew up, right? And if that is how you grew up around him, and maybe you don't know any different, how do you do things differently that way, right? I think about this all the times with my kids. I see so much of the worst of myself in them. So much of the worst things. It's so much harder to try to instill the good things in life to your kids. It's so easy to share the anger, to share the wrath, to share the curses. So much of our culture, I think, especially in this community, I've seen this over and over and over again, is stuck in this cycle of anger and wrath and curses. I met so many guys, and it seems like the idea is just to be as gruff and as hard-nosed as possible, right? It's like the being the biggest jerk in the room determines how much of a man you are, right? I've seen this. I've had this conversation. And at first, it's intimidating, but now I find it kind of sad. It's not really sad to me. Because it doesn't take an exceptional man to be angry, does it? It doesn't take an exceptional man to rip somebody a new one at the job site. It doesn't take an exceptional man to use your mouth to curse everybody and everything. No, all that's pretty easy. I think we'd readily admit that. What's hard is not doing that. That's the hard thing. That's the measure of a man. Not doing those things. And it starts by throwing out the clothes other angry men in your life have passed down to you. To say that's not who you are anymore. That won't define you anymore. That won't have a place in your life. That is not you. And no, instead, we're to take off these things here. All these things, to clean out that closet. By the time you get done with these two lists alone, you could add a whole bunch more in there when you're reading through the New Testament letters. You take all these lists, you start to take all these clothes out, you're going to find out you're going to be standing around naked, all right? Because you're not going to have anything left. You're not going to have anything left. And that's a good thing. Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his creator." You see, by the grace of God through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, we are new. We're being renewed day by day, and we're allowed to stand at the closet of our lives and allow God to start to pull all this stuff out first, to clean us all out, to leave us completely emptied of all that other stuff we had carried around before that's left our lives such a mess. And here's what happens in 3 verse 11. He says, "Here, when you have this all this stuff ripped out of your closet and you're going to be given new things, here there is no Greek or Jew, there's no circumcised or uncircumcised, there's no barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." In other words, who we are, who we've been, our social status, they're all ripped out. And the only thing that's left is Jesus. All the old is gone. Now, he's not asking that we walk around naked, right? And be standing around, be even more uncomfortable and unsure of ourselves than we had these oversized clothes on. So he gives us new ones to put on. 3:12-14 says this, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." You see, we're all products of failed human fathers. All of us. Even the best fathers are flawed. And most would probably have to admit to having a hard time expressing love. You ever had that dad? That dad in your life, that father figure in your life that just never could quite express what love meant to him, to you. Maybe he tried, maybe he bought things, right? Maybe it's the way he held you some days. Maybe you had these inclinations, but sometimes it was just really hard for him to express that love to you in his life. Thank God our Heavenly Father has no limitations. We are given in Jesus gifts from a father who knows you, who has chosen you, who sets you apart, and who loves you unconditionally. You see, God doesn't give us a new wardrobe when we've proven ourselves worthy. He doesn't say, "Yep, go out and make something of yourself. Boy, when you come back, then I'll give you that new car, that new clothes, that new thing you're going to need to live your life." He says, "No, what I see in you is a broken son. I see a broken father. I see a broken brother, and I'm going to restore you. I'm going to take you out of the muck. I'm going to put you in some royal clothes. I'm going to equip you for an adventure that is like no other adventure you ever lived. You're not going to be a child of failure anymore, but a child of the King who's going to be a father, a man, a son, a brother like never before. In Christ Jesus." You see, this new outfit that he gives us in grace isn't marked by uncontrolled self-passions or anger, but he says it's going to be marked by compassion. Compassion is this heartfelt sympathy for those in need, for those outside of ourselves. You see, Jesus was moved to heal the sick out of that same compassion. It's an outfit that's marked by kindness, which is more than just being nice, right? It's having this friendly and helpful spirit that meets the needs of those around us. These are the new clothes we're putting on, compassion and kindness. It's not just seeing someone need and saying, "Man, I hope they get it figured out," but actually trying to meet that need when we have the ability to make the change. It's a closet full of clothes that are filled and covered with humility. Dave last week did a great job giving us a ton of C.S. Lewis quotes. Never can go wrong with Jesus and C.S. Lewis, right? Those two are good all the time. And so I thought, let's give you one more this week, right? About humility. C.S. Lewis says this about humility. A humble man will not be thinking about humility. All right? A humble person, a humble man is not sitting there thinking about, oh man, I need to lower myself today. Right? That's not what a humble man's thinking. A humble man will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. That's humility. Jesus didn't come to find a way to save everyone, including himself. He gave up his desire completely to save all. And our new manhood shouldn't be bogged down with questions of how can I get that new truck or get that house or take care of this that I want in my life and then help someone else. But how can I use what I have to help someone in need first? Instead of anger and curses, our new clothes should be lined with patience, putting up with each other's failures and shortcomings without thought of revenge or being right. And our mouths should be letting out forgiveness and not holding in grudges. And over all these things, we should be putting them all on love. Love of God, who's chosen a bunch of ragtag, flawed men and given us new life, and love for those we live, work, and play with every single week. And I'm not talking about some Nancy-pantsy love. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He said, all these put on love, which is in perfect harmony. And you think about that, it's like, oh, look at all the flowers and the pretty things and all the nice soft things. And what Paul's talking about here is a hard love. He's talking about a love that will forgive somebody when they slap you in the face. That's a hard love. They're talking about a hard love that will say, whenever I'm angry, whenever stuff's boiling up inside of me, whenever our kids are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is most of the time, I'm not going to lash back out, but I'm going to love them with a hard love that says, I'm going to forgive you anyway, and I'm going to do my best to teach you how to not do what I know how to do, but teach you as Jesus has told us to do. It's a hard love, a love that forgives, that's patient, that's gentle. When we think about gentle, I want us to reflect on this for a minute. Gentleness is something we kind of get messed up. Gentleness is power under control. That's what gentleness is. Gentleness isn't coming over and saying, oh, you know, I'll just treat you so kind and so careful. No, gentleness is knowing you have all this power, but yet the ability to control it. It's like having a powerful horse, like a stallion who's ready to run out and charge the day, but yet has a bridle in his mouth and is restrained, under control. The ability to affect great change, but the self-control to direct it in ways that bless and not curse. That's what gentleness is. This is the hard love that we're called to give. It's a new closet full of clothes, better than any hand-me-downs that we can get, better than any clothes we can find for ourselves or read about in a self-help book or get tips from online about how to be a better dad. This is the closet we need. This is the clothes that we have to put on every day. Now, I want to challenge you this morning, men. I want to challenge you in this. Because I'm afraid deep down, we're cowards. And if you say, I'm not a coward, you're probably the first one, right? I want to look at yourself honestly, because I've looked at myself honestly, and I'm a coward most of the time. I'm content to live in hand-me-downs. So much of my day, I'll wake up and I'll repeat the same mistakes that my father's made before me. I'll repeat the same mistakes my stepdad's made before me. I'll repeat the same mistakes my grandfather passed down to me. And instead of seeking change, I'll just live in it. But the problem is, you're not just living in it yourself, but you're giving away to somebody else. Your wives are living in your hand-me-down mess. Your kids are living in your hand-me-down mess. When I say you, I mean me too. They're having to sit in this cycle that we keep repeating over and over and over again, you know, passing it down to our children, forcing our wives to treat us like kids because we want something so bad and we can't learn how to self-sacrifice for ourselves. To be able to do this, what Christ is calling us to is a challenge that is really, really hard. This is not easy stuff. This is not easy. So I want to challenge you today is not be a coward, all right? To not be a coward. To not say, yeah, I know I'm supposed to do those things, but I tried and I just can't do it. Stop it. That's a coward's way out. To say, yeah, I tried that and it's not going to work. That's cowardice and laziness. That's all there is to it. Christ is not calling us to cowardice and laziness. I'll guarantee you that. I want you to challenge to step into these new clothes this morning. I want to challenge you to step in to new shoes and to the front of the line to lead, protect, and provide for your families like never before, to sacrifice desires in your life, to say, man, I really wanted that new thing. I really wanted that for myself. We could even justify it and say, I really wanted it for my family. But instead of saying, I really want, I really need, I really think, all these things for ourselves, to say, what does Jesus want me to do today? To even sacrifice what our kids and our wives think we need to be doing. To say, this is what Christ is calling me to do. And I'm not going to bow to my own cowardice and laziness. I'm not going to bow to the pressures of family if they don't align with Jesus. But to say, I have new clothes to put on today. And I'm going to lead my family today like never before. In his power, not my own. There's so many in our community that volunteer at our fire departments. And I'm so appreciative of those, right? Because it's something there we know that we're called to serve and to protect. And what Jesus is calling us to do is just as important as saving someone from a fire. It's just as important as using the jaws of life. It's just as important as all those things to give up this cycle of anger and of addiction and of abandonment that has broken this community and to live differently in the power of Christ. That is just as important as any service you could provide anywhere else in this community. I guarantee it. And this goes beyond Sunday. One of my biggest pet peeves is when someone says, I better not say that in church. Man, I hate that. Oh my goodness, I hate it. Oh, it grinds me to no end because this building is not holy. You are. And so stop using it as an excuse. Oh, I shouldn't be doing that here. Oh, you shouldn't be doing it anywhere. Christ has called you to put on new clothes. Who you were is dead and gone. Who you are in Jesus is here and now. Stop living in the closet of the past and bringing out these old things and wearing them day after day and live in new clothes, a new way, or a new adventure. That's what we have, gentlemen. It's a calling. An adventure together with God and with others that plays out in every single part of our lives. I've heard so many say, well, I find my moment with peace with God when I'm out in the woods by myself, and that's great. I want you to find it there. But what I want you to do is I want it to bleed into every single part of your life. I want you to find that moment when you're playing with your kid and grandkids. I want you to find that moment when you're working hard and nobody else is looking at you at work, but you're doing it to honor God anyway. I want you to do it when you're making dinner with your wife and say, this is an honoring God, leading my family, living like Jesus moment. Every part of your life to wear those clothes day in, day out, every minute of every day, everywhere you go. It's a new life, new clothes, a new father, a new beginning, a new adventure, a new brothers and sisters working on that together. So if you're here this morning, maybe you're a seeker, maybe you're someone who doesn't quite know where you're at with Jesus. You're all right, Jesus has cleaned my closet out, right? He's given me a new identity. I have this whole new life in him. And maybe you're ready for that. I pray that you are. I pray that you get to that moment, whether it be a Sunday morning or some other part of your life, you're like, man, I don't know what it is. I feel like I've been slapped upside the head with you need Jesus moment. Because that is what changes things. You can't do this. This is a list that Paul gives us and that is filled with the Holy Spirit that says, oh, you just got to try harder. That is not what this is. It's a new identity in Christ. It's coming to Jesus first and saying, I've tried to stop being angry. I can't. I've tried to stop cursing. I can't. I've tried to stop this sexual desire in my life, and I can't. I've tried to bury all the things in my past. I've tried to clean up my closet, but every day I get up, it's like a doggone ghost that jumps back in, and I wake up and I slip the same old thing back on because it feels so good, and I can't get out of it on my own. And Jesus says, no, you can't. What he's offering you is new life that starts with a surrender, that starts with recognizing, no, I can't, and saying, but he already did. And in him, I can put on new clothes. I can have compassion. I can have kindness. I can have patience. I can have blessing. I can forgive others. I can bear one another. I can do all these things in Christ and in Christ alone, not because of me. So if that's you this morning and you're ready to make that commitment to him, to say, I'm done trying on my own, I'm ready to go all in on him, we're going to give you a chance to do so in just a minute. But maybe you're not. I always put that out here every single week because I know that faith is a journey, and sometimes it's a very, very long one. And sometimes you'll be on this journey and be like, well, I'm not quite ready to go all in on Jesus because that means I got to give up an awful lot, and it does. But I want you to keep leaning and listening because I want you to look at your life if you're a father watching today, and I want you to do some serious self-examination. I want you to look at your life and say, man, how much of my dad is in me? How much of that person that I didn't like? How much of that person that abused me, that sat around and drank all day long, that left me going to, and doing things and taking care of things on my own, how much of that person is in me? How much of that person, maybe he's even a good dad, right? But man, he had some messed up stuff going on. He had some anger issues, but yeah, maybe we all have anger issues. And we try to justify that stuff away. Look and self-examine your life and say, is this who I want to be? Is this who I want to pass on to my children? Is this the husband that I want to be for my wife? Is this the father for my children? Is this the granddad for my grandchildren? Or is there something better? And I want you to lean in and listen each week as we show you there's a different way to deal with things. And you might not be ready to go all in on Jesus yet. But he's right there waiting on you for when you are. And we're right here to go on that journey with you each and every week and during the week too. Seriously consider that. For believers this morning, one of the biggest battles we fight as men is loneliness. Loneliness. You think, oh no, the battle is work, the battle is kids, the battle is, you know, anger, the battle is the sexual stuff. No, it's loneliness first. It's loneliness first. We buy into this lie that we don't need a lot of people, right? How many guys here? Matter of fact, we've done this in men's group, all right? How many guys, how many friends, real friends, do you actually have? Anybody got here got more than three real friends? Like you could call them up tomorrow and they'll be there, you know, help you to put in a screen door or something. I don't know what it is. You got three people who do that in your life. Right? Most of us don't. Most of us don't. Most of us don't have even one good friend. As guys, outside of a school setting, right, we may have had a lot of friends when we were in school, we may have been a popular person, but as soon as you get outside and you start working on your own, you got a family to take care of, you got life going on, it is hard. It is so hard to connect with others, to connect with other men, especially. And we live in this loneliness, and we don't even realize we're lonely. We're like, oh, I just kind of feel depressed, right? I get out and do some things, but I'm not really, you know, really connected, but I don't really need a lot of people. I could just kind of manage this. But let me tell you what, the fastest way to lose battles in your life is fight it alone. I'll guarantee you. That stuff that you can't take off, that stuff that keeps jumping back in your closet and you keep putting it back on, it's because you're trying to do it by yourself too. It's because you come to the closet and you say, well, ain't nobody here to help me, so I guess I got to make a good decision today. But it's easier just to put that old shirt on instead of a new one because you're fighting alone. And so what I want to tell you here, guys, what we're trying to foster here at Faith is a band of brothers. It's a band of brothers. We got a men's group, and I'm not just touting this because it's a men's group and I want you to be a men's group. I'm touting it because I want you to be connected to men who want to fight with you, not against you, but with you. Men who share ups and downs together. Men who share wins and losses together. Men who are discovering along the way to be more like Jesus together. That's what this is about. To put on the clothes we talked about today. To start winning more than we're losing. That's what that's about. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that with us. It's each week at 6. We'd love for you to be there. We're going to be at Dave's house this week, aren't we, Dave? Yeah. All right, awesome. We're going to be at Dave's house. We're going to trash it. No, I'm just joking. No. We're going to leave it better than found it because we're good. We're doing good. We're going to put on new clothes, right? So we're going to do some good things this week. And I want to encourage you. We do different locations, different places, but I want you to be a part of that, guys, especially if you're believers, even if you're not, but especially if you are, come and be a part because it's so easy to slip on these old clothes. It's so hard to put on the new. So let's do it together. Let's pray this morning. If you're seeking this morning, and you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, I'm ready. I'm done trying to figure this out on my own as a man, as a father. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I might not admit it to anybody else, but right now I can admit it to myself. Know that God is right there with you. Jesus is right there in this moment with you saying, take my hand. We're going to do some cleaning out and putting on some of the new clothes. So if that's you this morning, you can start here by praying a prayer like this. It doesn't have to be these magic words. That's not what this is. This is just a heart's cry out to God, saying, dear Jesus, Lord, I'm sorry. I've tried to wear and to put on things that I've been given, to try to throw out the bad and keep the good, but no matter what I do, I still keep falling back in these same mistakes, same pattern, same things over and over and over again, and I'm done. I'm done. I want you. Jesus, I want you to clean out my closet. I want you to forgive me, and I know you already have, but I want you to forgive me for the things that I've done in those old clothes. God, and I'm ready to live a new adventure with you, with this whole new outfit. Not as a perfect person, but as someone who recognizes I need you above all things. Lord, help me to do it in your strength and not my own. If that's you today and you said a prayer like that, man or woman, it doesn't matter. This is not just, that prayer goes out for everybody. We all got clothes we got to change out. So if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you, if you're here, find me after we're done with this experience. Don't leave here without coming and connecting with me and saying, hey, I said that prayer, because it starts a new journey, a new adventure that you do together with others, not alone. It's better together, trust me. It's the way it's meant to be. So find me if you're online, like or leave a comment. We're going to follow up with you as well. Don't miss out on that opportunity. For believers and everyone else as we close here today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that in you we have a new identity, that in you we are made new, that in you we are given a whole new closet full of compassion, of kindness, of gentleness, of self-control, of patience, of love, of all these things that we need that we can't get on our own, that we know we need deep down but we can't find, but God, you freely give to us in Jesus. God, we praise you that you are such a generous, gracious, merciful God who looks on broken people, who looks on people who've made so many mistakes, who mothers and sons and fathers and brothers and just people in relationship with others, and we've screwed so much stuff up, but yet you look at us and you say, I'm going to heal you, I've forgiven you, and I'm going to give you new life through the death and resurrection of Jesus. God, we just praise you for your mercy and grace, that we're not left alone in our brokenness, but are made new. God, I pray this week that as we go out as husbands, as sons, as brothers, as women and men, as family of God, people passionately pursuing you, God, that we put on these new clothes you've given us each day, that each day is a moment to turn to you and say, Lord, help me put on compassion today. Lord, help me to honor you in my work today. God, help me to bless somebody and not curse somebody with my mouth today. God, help me to do something for you today. God, to put down my desire and to pick up your desire for my life, to lead my family, my brothers, my sisters, this church, this community, my workplace, to lead like you have led me. God, and to encourage my brothers and sisters throughout this journey, God, to keep putting on the clothes you've called us to put on, to live differently than we have before, to live it on adventure together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for being online with us, for joining us, hanging out with us. Make sure you're sharing this post with somebody, some group, some person you know, maybe you haven't reached out in a while. Don't miss out on that opportunity to do so. We can't wait to see you guys either Thursday at 6:30 for prayer on Facebook or here in person, or next Sunday, 10 a.m. as we gather together again to deal with things differently in the rest of this series next week. All right, see you next time.